When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In sports, if you want to be the best, there are no off days.
Welcome into the No Off Days podcast. We got Chris Cato. We've got BK in the booth. I am Scott Smith, and we are down to now the Final Four. This is it. I mean, the Final Four in the cake bracket, of course, I'm talking about. But the hoops is kind of whittling itself down as well. This is an exciting time of year, and I'm particularly excited about this show. And I don't know if I should say who's our guest, or if I should wait for Brian to do that introduction. I kind of don't know what to do.
You say it in case people are about to tune out. Say it.
Okay.
Quickly.
Ice Cube is on the show! Ice Cube is on the show!
The Ice Cube.
Wow.
Yeah. Not just a cube of ice. Because we would do that. We've done that before.
We would
before.
Do a big tease, say who's on the show, and then we'd find some way to, of course,
right.
Ice Cube is not coming on the Nod Pod. Why would he do that?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he has something
to
promote.
The question is, why wouldn't he after this interview?
Right.
Yeah, we can't wait
Maybe
to
he
him.
Wants to talk about cake.
Yeah.
Well, this is the place to do it.
This is the place. So, by the end of the show, we will reveal what is the championship matchup, championship.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Frosted Four.
We
started voting last week.
Yes.
So it was chocolate cake against carrot cake, and we know you're all in for carrot.
Team carrot.
We had on the other side of the bracket red velvet against cheesecake, and that one I think I called for the cheesecake upset because they were our 3 seed and red velvet was our 2. But again, this, as mentioned, this has gone to chalk. It's all been the top 4 seeds.
It's been the favorites,
As predicted off the top from that selection committee that did such a great job, even though we were assaulted. I was, at least.
You were, yeah.
Yeah, you weren't, but you should have been.
I will be.
Anyway, so yeah, we will reveal the update at the end of the show, who is on to the championship, and then we will, of course, tell you how to get voting for a whole nother week of voting. We got to get it right. Are
we eating cake on this episode?
Yes, we do.
Okay,
we have cake
excellent.
On this week's
that's
episode.
That's the reason I came. That and Ice Cube.
I have not let anybody else in the building know that cake is here. You are the only one that knows, so we will get it to ourselves, unlike last time. Let's bring in Brian King. BK, I'm sorry.
No.
I would ask you at this point what's on the show, but I kind of stole your thunder, didn't
no,
I?
No, that's good, man. You're pumped about it. That's a great show. This may be the all-time guest, don't you think?
We may have topped Crazy George Henderson, finally.
Come on now. Get him off me! I don't know. If he tells stories like Crazy George did, I don't know. Do you think he would bring a drum with him? A snare drum?
Yeah, Ice Cube?
Ice Cube.
He might. I don't know. He's a music producer.
Yeah.
He could
have
a snare drum in his office somewhere.
Can I get a beat?
What do you think about my shirt this week, Brian? Do you like it?
I know. I forgot to wear mine. I went Carolina
Tell everybody
blue.
That's listening that doesn't know.
Well, Brian and I are happy because, we are a football school. We're Alabama fans. We usually, by the time March rolls around, what are we doing, Brian? We're watching spring football. Yeah, we're looking at the roster, who's going to play wide receiver this year. And basketball's just a foregone conclusion. So many springs, Brian and I, as young children growing up in the plains and hills of Alabama, would long for a moment like this where our basketball team could have something to play for beyond – made several Sweet 16s but could never punch past the Sweet 16 ball.
And the beauty is by the time that most people are watching this, Alabama's already eliminated.
No. People will watch this before Saturday, I hope.
Congratulations. That's pretty cool. I mean, when I saw Clemson-Alabama rematch, I thought this was, national championship up for grabs on the football field at Raymond James Stadium. But, your basketball program deserves the kudos, and you got a chance. Not a real good chance.
Playing UConn that
UConn
could be
– they've been destroying
could
teams.
Could be in fourth place in the NBA East right now, but,
probably.
We're in there.
Yeah.
It's a great feeling.
So congrats on that, BK. And on the rest of the show, is there anything else that we can talk about, or did I just spoil everything?
Well, I think you hit the cakes, right?
Yeah, we got cakes.
So, the voting for this week for the cake, still through the roof. Holy cow. This, I didn't think anything could top cereal. The cake voting, It seems to have struck
a chord. Yeah.
And almost every night in that newsroom in there that I have to spend much of my life chained to my desk in there, there is some debate going on. It usually happens during the week that the new bracket comes out and they see who was eliminated. There are such people that are aficionados of pineapple upside down.
Self-appointed.
Yes. Self-appointed. And then this people were coming to blows the other day about cheesecake and half the room saying, it's not a cake. It's not. And I'm like, guys, we're at this point now. We're in the final four. It's a cake, okay? We're treating it as a cake.
Well, I have heard that if cheesecake, and we're not revealing anything yet, cheesecake were to win the whole thing, that there might be a not-so-silent contingent that rises up and calls for a recount. They demand a recount. They demand that it be thrown out because of a technicality, that it's not actually a cake.
They were all present and had the chance to appear in the committee meeting room
that day
we seated all of this. And not one person came in there and said, do not put cheesecake in this tournament.
Quite frankly, even if they had, I would have ignored them. It is cheesecake, ladies and gentlemen. Whoever came up with the naming rights to the actual food item that we're discussing, I think that carries more weight than the shape, or whether it's baked, or whether it has flour, or whether it has a certain crust. I don't care about any of that. It's called cheesecake. It's in the cake bracket.
Can you cut a slice of it? Can you stick birthday candles in it? Yes and yes.
Yes.
All right. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for the update.
And right.
Just looking so darn handsome today. That is Brian King, ladies and gentlemen. We'll catch up with you in a little bit. If you are listening and you want to watch, go to fox13news.com/nightpod. If you're watching and you want to listen or subscribe, take out your phone, zap the QR code on the bottom right-hand corner of the screen right there. There you can find all of our shows. Subscribe at fox13news.com/nightpod. So as mentioned, we are down to the final four. And UConn they're the presumptive favorite. They were going in. They are destroying everybody that they play. Maybe that changes against Alabama, but what are your kind of reaction? Let me lead with this. This is where I wanted to start.
Okay.
About a year ago at this time, we had our Nance Week podcast. It was the Nance podcast. It was all about Jim Nance because this has been Nance Week.
Yes.
I mean, it kind of leads. Well, next week, actually. It follows the championship game. Of course, he has been the voice for so many years of March Madness, and then it leads right into the Masters where, you know, he has his epic sayings and all the things that we love about Jim.
Right.
But what Ian Eagle has kind of taken over now. Your thoughts. I know you're a man that listens to the call. You care about these sort of things. We might want to bring Brian back in if he wanted to discuss it. What do you think about the job Ian Eagle has done? And should we call this the Eagle Has Landed?
I did not know you were going there. I think Ian Eagle has done a fantastic job narrating this journey that has brought us to the Final Four so far.
I miss Jim Nance.
What do you want me to say?
I miss Jim Nance.
I mean,
I miss the man.
Okay.
All right. I miss his Musk. All right. But anyway, to the basketball. Your big takeaways so far to this point. And is there anything that can slow down UConn?
I don't know. I don't think so, slowing down UConn. I'll say big takeaway tournament overall was there was a lot of, just like the cake bracket, a lot of chalk in the first couple of rounds. Yep. We all got excited. We filled out our brackets. We made dumb picks like me picking McNeese State and teams like that to make it to the Sweet 16. And it was a lot of heavy favorites winning and moving on, not a lot of upsets. But when we got down to the Sweet 16, there was some really good basketball.
Yep.
And you did start to see some upsets. And now we have one of these Final Four teams. The run that they have made is absolutely incredible. And I'm talking about 11 seed NC State, only the sixth 11th seed to ever make it to a Final Four. And this was a team that was not even near the bubble before the ACC tournament started. They lost 14 games. They needed to win the ACC tournament to get in. They do that, but only because of a miraculous sequence of events against Virginia in that ACC tournament. Virginia's up three with 5 seconds left, shooting a free throw that would put the game out of reach. They missed the free throw. NC State grabs it. This guy throws up a prayer that goes in off the backboard, ties it. They go to overtime. NC State wins. If not for that, they wouldn't have been in the tournament anyway. And here they are. They've really been playing solid defense, and they haven't been turning the ball over in the tournament. And then they take Duke down for a second time in the Elite Eight. And now they're on the doorstep. They've got a shot against Purdue. I think it's a fascinating matchup because Purdue is obviously running everything through their big man, Zach Edey, 7'4", probably your repeat Naismith National Player of the Year. But, you know, NC State has a pretty big guy, too.
Yeah, we talk about that at the beginning of the tournament. Like, who are the guys that have who are the dark horse teams? And then who are the guys that will make a name for themselves in this tournament? And you're mentioning one, DJ Burns for NC State. I mean, he's huge. He's got a great jumper. He can score from anywhere on the court. That little fadeaway baseline number, I mean, is
very agile.
Unstoppable.
Yeah.
But he's like this bigger, larger-than-life personality that is just, it's perfect for the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, and this is an NC State team that, especially when they play in Duke, they're easy to root for, man. And so you do kind of hope that this Cinderella run continues for them, you know, whether it does or not, you know, we'll find out, I guess. But stars are born in the NCAA tournament, and for him, that is for sure one. I mean, I think it was at least a season high against Duke, 29 points that he scored. Talking a little, jabbing a little bit with some of the Blue Devil fans, so love that. You know, on the other side, you mentioned Edie. I mean, this guy is just that's why Purdue is just, they're such a hard team. There's just no way to stop this guy. I mean, the guy that was guarding him in the Elite Eight game fouled out really early
so
in the
quickly,
game.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, yeah, he's enormous. Seven foot four, and he's tough to handle.
You really can't stop him when he can build a house in the paint, in the lane, which he did against Tennessee in that game you were referencing there. I mean, my goodness, the guy is just camping out down there. They kick it down to him. He holds it for a couple seconds, tosses it back out, and stays there and doesn't move. And you got Rick Barnes, the Tennessee coach over there, telling the refs, please, give me 5 seconds in the lane.
Right.
I would love that.
Right.
And so I do wonder if there is the refs are going to hear this. I wonder if there's an overcorrection almost, and we start to see in this game against NC State them blow the whistle on him establishing himself down there. That could be a factor.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that if Tennessee had everybody, you know, other than Connect, shooting the ball.
Yeah.
Anybody other than Connect shooting the ball, I think Tennessee would have beaten that team. But Ziegler went
cold. Yeah.
So UConn, obviously we mentioned they've been destroying teams, and you know, head coach Dan Hurley, part of it has to do with these bizarre pregame superstitions, I'm told. So he consumes exactly 8 M&Ms prior to games.
Why is it 8? We don't know.
Don't know.
I
didn't do a lot of digging on this.
Is it color dependent?
I don't know. Yeah. Do they all taste the same, by the way?
Yeah.
I think they do. A cup of bulletproof coffee on the sideline.
Okay.
And then, of course, the clothing, which I think is, you know, obviously this has gone on for years. You know, folks, baseball players known to be superstitious, wear the same socks. He wears the same suit, same socks, and the same underwear, Chris. Red Dragon underwear. Is this a problem? Red Dragon underwear? What is this?
What is he, a child? Yes. What are these pajamas?
But he's apparently, his wife brings this portable like hand washer with him so that he can wash his favorite.
So they are underwear. Washed. These underwear are clean.
Well, reportedly. Okay. Yeah, I don't know how good she does on, you know, maybe it's a couple games, after a couple games, but yeah. It's such a bizarre thing, and I don't know why he would tell everybody that.
He made the remark on in the post-game interview the other day on the court. It said, "Oh, Andrea's his wife. Andrea's going to have to.
She doesn't get enough TV time.
She's going to have to get that hand washer out because I mean, come on, Dan, can't you wash your old underwear? You make your wife carry around this hand washer on road games?
That was a little demeaning. Yeah, at the same time. But how about that? Some magic underwear.
Did you have from your playing days and? At any point, did you have a superstitious piece of clothing or anything?
In high school, my senior year, I think I wore the same undershirt for every game. But I don't know if that was superstition or I only had like 3 shirts there, Chris. So that was probably
out of necessity.
No doubt.
Did you wash it?
Yeah,
you?
Probably not. probably stunk to high heaven. No, I never was superstitious about anything. I mean, I'm probably more superstitious in like watching games than I am like as a, you know, whenever I played. So
definitely that's how I roll too. Like, I feel like if I don't sit in the right spot, it's not going to turn out well for Alabama.
Yeah. Last time you watched Alabama, you were eating popcorn. You were sitting on the left of your couch and you had 1 foot up on the coffee table, right?
Yes.
And so it's got to replicate that.
It's got to be the same foot.
Major League Baseball, about a week into the season now. You know, you don't want to read too much into this, but there are some things that you know, look, last week we made dark horse predictions, Chris, and I feel like a weekend, I'm going to beat my chest a little bit.
Oh,
I said the Tigers are making the playoffs, and the Tigers are 4-0, leading the division right now. I also mentioned the Mariners as one of my dark horses. They're in second place, 3-2, strong start.
You are cashing in these receipts, Chris, one week into the season.
I believe, did you say the Padres?
No, I said I don't know that the Padres will be good.
Okay.
Remember,
okay.
You said the Padres.
Diamondbacks 3-2, struggling.
I said the Cubs. How are the Cubs doing?
Let me see.
I didn't know we were checking our homework this early in the season.
No, we're doing it already. Let's see. The Cubs, as we sit, now this is really early, obviously, in the week when we tape this. But the Cubs are sitting at...
Oh, give me something, Cubbies.
Ooh, 2-2.
See, told you.
2-2, but they've won two in a row.
They're
so
in there.
They started out a little cold, and they're heating up. So
they're
anyway.
On fire.
Now, I mean, obviously, you don't want to read too much into this stuff, but I do look at a Dodgers team that's already allowed 34 runs. I mean, that's pretty significant for a team that, you know, it should be solid all the way across the board. Otani, yet to hit a home run. I mean, I'm just saying, he's hitting 267. I pay the guy $700 million. I kind of want to get some more run production.
Yeah.
He's got three RBIs already through, I think, and they played more games than anybody. I want to say they're at like 9 games as we tape this. Somewhere around there, 7 games maybe, that's right.
He hasn't pitched an inning either.
Yeah.
He's been useless.
Well, yeah, that's going to be that may be a minute. So, I don't know. You don't want to read too much into this. We got a Phillies team, you know, for as good as they were last year. They've got the worst ERA in Major League Baseball right now, 7:30. So, I don't know. I'm just saying, you know.
It always adjusts back to the mean, right? Because I remember the Astros started off last season, like, really
The Astros
rough.
Always adjust to the mean.
They do.
Not
yes.
every team does, yeah. though. That's all right. In the NFL, quickly, I want to go over some of these because I thought they were interesting. They had released incentive distributions for players that earned bonuses, that earned extra money. They reached certain incentives on their contract and how much money they got paid. And so, you know, I don't know some of these guys. John Simpson was number one in the NFL.
I know John.
I love how they rank him.
Mm-hmm.
What does John play?
John plays guard now for the Ravens or for the Jets, but he played for the Ravens last season.
How about that? Good job. So he made almost $975,000 last year in incentives. So that's pretty significant. Reed Blankenship, safety for the Eagles, just south of that, 920. We work our way down the list here, and look at Brock Purdy.
Yeah,
he made $740,000 in incentives.
Now, isn't that that's about double his salary, right?
Or
close to it.
No, that's, I'm not sure where that is in terms of his entire salary, but I got to think that it's close. And how about this? All the way down the list, we come to Aaron Rodgers, who made $81 in incentives last year.
How do they figure this?
I have no idea.
He was hurt on the third snap of the season,
right? Is it seconds? Is it like just checking in? I mean, what incentive would trigger just this? I guess a starting a game is got to be
something.
Some level of incentive.
I think it's based on plays that you're on the field, though. And he was on the field for 3 plays, so I don't know how.
I thought incentives were triggered once you reached a certain like level. So maybe it was like, if you have a certain percentage of games that you start, I don't know.
You're usually the guy that knows this stuff. This is you're usually the contract and incentive guy, but I'll read you something here
about this.
Is the performance-based pay. And so there was a calculation they use. And to calculate it, they take the player's regular season total plays played on offense, defense, special teams, whatever, and they divide that by their compensation, which is each player's regular season full salary, including prorated signing bonus, earned incentives. So it sounds like a way to make sure that players that don't have a big salary, but wind up maybe in a support role, that, you know, they were a backup safety or something, but they come in early in the season, like Reed Blankenship, and end up playing a majority of the snaps, some way to compensate them. You know, and if you're a guy who, like Aaron Rodgers, who already has a giant salary anyway, even if you play, just because of the calculation, even if you play 3 snaps, you're going to get some pocket change, which is what he got.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if he said, you know what? My bonus check just came in, guys. Lunch is on me. Lunch is on me. Let's go get some Subway sandwiches.
Keep it under $81.
Yeah. Maybe we can invest this into my my primary when I run for vice president, maybe something like that. I don't know where the money goes. It's got to be above board, obviously.
That's right.
political slush fund there. We don't want that to happen. You know what? I can't contain myself anymore, Chris. We have to get to our guest, and we will do that on the other side. Ice Cube is joining the No Off Days podcast when we come back.
Today is a good day.
Welcome back to the No Off Days podcast. Chris, I'm not sure even how to introduce our guest today. Rapper, actor, producer, director, founder of the Big Three, three-on-three basketball league. How shall I introduce the icon? Let's bring in Ice Cube joining the Knob Pod. Awesome to have you, Ice Cube. All right, so let's start with hoops because you're bringing this event to Tampa, our own backyard. I got you on the calendar for June 22nd at the Yuengling Center, the seventh season of Big Three kicks off here on June 15th. I mean, what are we in for this season? Why should folks here in Tampa be clamoring for some tickets?
I mean, you know, we're the hottest thing in town. You know, it's a great event. You're going to see six games for the price of one. You know, our games are about, you know, 40 minutes apiece. So, you know, so it's a great event to bring the family to. It's an affordable ticket. You're going to see real basketball. And, you know, I don't know what they're doing in the NBA right now, but in the Big Three, they play for real. Real defense, you know, hard-nosed three-on-three. And you got pros doing it, seven-footers. It's a spectacle.
Yeah, I got to say, for people who haven't watched, you're missing out because It is like nonstop action. You guys have a 14-second shot clock. There's no game clock. First team to 50 win by two wins. And you've got a four-pointer. You got a three four-point circles out there.
The old four-point bucket.
Yeah, the old four-point bucket.
Wish they had that in my day.
It really is an exciting product, and here you are in year seven. Has this Ice Cube, has Big Three become everything that you kind of envisioned it would when you launched this in 2017?
Everything and more. You know, it's rare that new leagues are accepted. If you really think about it, there's kind of like a new league coming out every year of something, and to be accepted and to be debated and to be, you know, basically, you know, stamped by some of the biggest names in basketball. You know, we have Hall of Fame coaches like Dr. J and Iceman and, you know, Rick Barry, Nancy Lieberman, Lisa Leslie. So it's star studded and it's great to have, you know, these pillars of basketball endorse the league. You know, our players are great. Some of them are fresh out the NBA. Some of them play overseas. So they're, you know, they're really ballers all over the world. And some of them are young guys who haven't got a good look yet. And so it's great to see this mixture of talent on the three-on-three level, because it's a different game. It's totally different than five-on-five. It's faster, it's more physical, it's more personal. You have to be an all-around player. You have to be able to pass, dribble, shoot, and defend to have success in the Big Three.
I wonder if a resume that included 41 points against LSU last night would be something that would be appealing last night in the women's game. I know that the big story has been Caitlin Clark, right? Number one, she's going to be the number one overall pick in the WNBA, and now there's this potential offer that is rumored to be around $5 million coming from the Big Three. I mean, how did you guys come up with the offer, the idea to bring in what is arguably the biggest name in women's college basketball that we've had in quite some time?
Well, you know, we think she can be successful against our players. If you really look at our league and how it's progressed over the last 7 years, you know, guards really shine. And so, you know, if she was a bigger player, we had looked at Maya Moore a few years back, but a bigger player would have a little more trouble. You know, the paint is very physical in the Big Three. So, you know, first of all, we felt like she could have success. She has a, you know, amazing range, 4-point range without a doubt. And, you know, with the right coach and the right schemes, we think she could, she can get off. And hey, you know, she's a phenomenon. 12.3 million people watched the game yesterday. So that's undeniable star power. And so to have her a part of the big three, we wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't go after her. And still allow her to play in the WNBA. We think we can make it work. Well, we know we can. So it's really, the ball's in their court, so to speak. And we're just waiting for a positive, positive answer.
Yeah, I gotta say, $5 million for playing 10 games, that's if they make the championship. Not bad money there.
Yeah, life-changing for sure.
But have you guys had any response from her camp yet? Or I'm sure they're still focused at this time on that women's Final Four.
Yeah, there's been dialogue for a couple of weeks now. It's, we didn't expect this news to come out. It leaked. And so we had to, make sure we, set the record straight. And so we want her to concentrate, of course, on playing in the NCAA Final Four. Hopefully she'll make it to the championship game and win. But at the end of the day, if she gets knocked out, we'd love to have her. Whenever she makes a decision, we're waiting. We're all ears.
And I think what is key is, as you mentioned, is that this is not detracting away from what her WNBA pursuits would be. This would just be an addition. This would be an extra cherry on top. Obviously, the big name ID benefits you. She's a great player. But this, without question, financially could impact her in a major way. And when you look at where the WNBA salaries are, I mean, it's not even comparable, right?
Oh, yeah, I think it'll be a great statement. It'll be a great moment for women's sports. If you look at the big three, we have people laughed at us when we brought in Nancy Lieberman to coach the guys. What did she do? She won a championship her first year and became coach of the year. People laughed at us when we brought in Lisa Leslie. And what did she do? She won a championship her first year in 2019 and became the coach of the year. So we're a league that's, we say we're changing the game and we mean it. We want to change it for the better. And adding her to come to Tampa, wouldn't y'all want to see her up close out there in Tampa on June 22nd?
Yeah, we might get a
I
ticket to
might have
that.
to get
Yeah.
there, right?
That would be
For
a
sure.
hot ticket at the Yuengling
Without a
Center there.
doubt, man, you better get a ticket. Come on, Tampa. Look,
Yeah.
we came there in 22. And it was great, but it was short notice. So now we're giving people a long runway. It's going to be great. I got a concert with the Red Hot Chili Peppers the night before.
Oh,
So
nice.
we're going to make it an Ice Cube weekend. Come on through and hang
Hey,
out in
that
Nashville.
in June it is hot here. We need an Ice Cube weekend
For
in
sure.
June here in Tampa. That's phenomenal. Well, you look, I want to talk about what you've done with basketball for the broader world, for the broader community too. I mean, we all know that you're kind of synonymous with basketball. You messed around and got a triple double, but you also have been recognized by the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame in February. They gave you the inaugural and appropriately named Ice Cube Impact Award, which acknowledges people that have made a lot of substantial contributions to their community off the court. What did that mean to you to be honored by the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame?
Blown away, not in my wildest dreams, would I ever think that I would, be recognized in the Hall of Fame for my work in basketball. I've loved basketball since I was, knee high to a horse fly. And so to be able to play the game, have fun, be a fan of the game, create this amazing league, and then get recognized by, the upper echelon of basketball, in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame is just, it's like when we made it to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with NWA. It's something that you just never count on, but when it happens, you're extremely grateful. And you want to thank all the people that, helped you get here. I don't do this alone. We have a great league. And to be recognized, it's just, it really touched my heart.
Well, we are just getting warmed up with Ice Cube. More to come on the other side as we dive into, talk a little music, talk a little sports. More with Cube on the other side. You know, I'm wondering if over the years, I mean, we obviously know that you are L.A. in many ways, and you've rocked the Raiders gear for so long and the Dodgers. You're a fan of SoCal teams. And we've seen kind of players take an exercise agency as they have higher career earnings and they try to get a slice of ownership. For you, obviously, you start the Big Three. You found a new league. Have you ever thought about purchasing? I mean, I see Tom Brady trying to get a slice of the Raiders, but I don't see Ice Cube. Have you ever tried to get in on any of that?
Nah, you know, I don't want to be a team owner. You know, I own a league. And, you know, that's enough. And, you know, I want to stay a fan. So I never thought about, you know, buying the Raiders. You know, as an artist myself, you know, when you can be just a regular fan, you jump at it. So when it comes to football, I love to sit in my seat and yell at everybody making the decisions and, you know, and the players on the field and just eat popcorn. But with this league, you know, we are selling teams, and we're in a position where we are taking on owners. And so, you know, I got my hands full with the Big Three. So, no, thank you.
Well, clear something up for me here when you talk about selling teams and owners, because Lil Durk puts out a tweet last night after watching, you know, Caitlin Clark's performance, and he appears to offer her $10 million to come play for his Big Three. Does Lil Durk now own a team in the Big Three, or what is this?
No, he don't own a team in the Big Three, but he can. You know, he need to holler at me. Then he can recruit real. We got something great going on. You know, 12 teams. We're going to expand to 16, you know, hopefully 24. And, hey, we got a great league going on. It's not easy to start a league. So come ride with your homeboy Ice Cube. And
he's taking all offers, yeah. Still making music, too. When does the new album come out?
We looking at June. We mixing songs, getting all, you know, the contracts done, clearing samples, getting all our visuals cocked and loaded. So by June, we think we'll be ready to let it go. And
you'll be in Tampa in June to give us a sample.
It's a big month.
It is a big month.
Hey, might be the day we drop. You never know.
Oh, I hope so. More importantly, when is Last Friday coming out? Are we ever going to get Last Friday?
You know, it what's cool is I've been talking to Warner Brothers on and off, and it looks like we're trying to get something done. So, you know what I mean? Keep your fingers crossed and, you know, make a couple of phone calls for me, and we might can get it done soon.
Can I ask you one last music-related question? If you could take the best of any certain rapper and kind of create a hybrid best of all time, what would that look like? How would Ice Cube concoct that?
I'll just look in the mirror.
Ah! Oh,
there he is.
That's the answer I wanted.
Hey, if you were a coach and you got a Big Three in rap, you're a coach, you got to draft three rappers to compete against
another team. That's essentially the question I think I was asking.
I'm trying to get at it another way here. I'm trying to get at it another way. You can't pick Ice. You can't draft Ice Cube. You got to draft three rappers on your Big Three.
Okay. I mean, Tupac, Biggie. I don't think you can go wrong with Lil Wayne.
Okay. That'd be a pretty formidable lineup there.
Without a doubt. And before we let you go, if I'd be just remiss if I didn't ask you, what we're doing here on our podcast is we have our cake bracket.
Yes, this is very
and
important.
And we started with 16 cakes. Yeah. I know this is something you've probably never been asked before, but I've got to ask you, between chocolate cake, cheesecake, red velvet cake, and carrot cake, what do you think is the best?
A chocolate.
Yeah.
There we go.
I feel like chocolate is like the Yukon of this bracket right here, now.
There may not be an upset. Well,
you can't beat it.
You can't beat chocolate. You can't beat Ice Cube coming to Tampa June 22nd. We got a concert. We got Big Three Hoops. If you want tickets, go to big3.com/tickets and catch their stop coming to the Bay Area and the Yuengling Center on the campus of USF. The icon, Ice Cube.
Thank you so much for your time.
Podcast. Thank you so much.
Yay.
Appreciate it,
Ice Cube. Appreciate you, man. See you guys in June.
That's right. With Caitlin Clark or without.
There we go.
We'll see.
Finally, coming up on the No Off Days podcast, it's time, Chris, to eat cake. Does it get better? We went from Ice Cube to time to eat cake. We're going to reveal the championship matchup in the cake bracket. Don't go anywhere.
Let's
Nod
go.
Pod's back after this.
Go Carrots.
Welcome back to the Nod Pod, and it is the moment that you've been waiting for all week. Because
can I say something first?
No, no.
Right, I regret I didn't get to ask Ice Cube my question.
And what was that? You asked him a bunch of questions.
I didn't get to ask him my question about ice cubes, though.
Okay, what was that?
I wanted to
about
know
the gum or the actual like frozen.
No, I
ice?
Wanted to know what is his preferred shape of frozen ice that's not a cube. Is he going crescent, the kind that our refrigerator?
I think it's pebble. Yeah.
Yeah. Nugget. Yeah. Nugget ice.
Well, the nugget, little. Yeah, but pebble nugget, same thing.
The
yeah.
tiny soft cylinders.
Yeah. Of course.
You think that's what you would say?
Everybody would say that.
You're putting ice words in Ice Cube's mouth?
I'm fairly confident that is the preferred ice for most people. Nobody likes, I mean, unless it's a giant cube that would go with like a bourbon or something.
I was thinking,
like that.
Those ice balls
there's that.
That go in your cocktail?
Yeah, but that's just a cooling agent. It's not enjoyable. People that yeah. like ice, they prefer, I think I can say this conclusively, is that
the nugget ice.
It's the nugget slash pebble ice, yes.
Well, what about crushed ice for slushies and such?
Well, it depends. Is it crushed ice coming out of your refrigerator? Because that the crusher on refrigerators
it doesn't crush
it's
it
not
well.
Really yeah. great.
Now, no, it's the kind it's that like the bartender fine... gives you in a tiki glass.
So like a blender?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Blend, it's very
yeah.
well blended. Okay, I don't know.
Should we do an ice bracket?
Sorry, is Cube still on the line? Can we get him? Brian, can we get Ice Cube on the line? Can we call him up? We got to get this answered. Okay.
We'll do an ice bracket next year. How about that?
I'm told that he is gone. And he's never to appear on the Nod Pod again. No. All right. Back to the business at
sorry.
Hand, which is, of course, all the voting that you guys did last week for the great cake bracket. You have been diligent in your voting all the last couple of weeks. Now we have started with 16 cakes, and we are now ready to unveil what is the final two, and we are calling it the championship. But this week, the Frosted Four, we had... You know, exactly what we had predicted essentially at the beginning when we slated our cakes 1 through 16, it was the top four.
Yeah.
And so these were your regional one seeds essentially going at it with a right to play in the championship game. And they're all classics, you know, chocolate cake, carrot cake, along with red velvet and cheesecake. And you know, if we had to choose, you know, it might just come down to what the mood you're in, right?
Yeah, yeah. You're
like
not.
It's not necessarily like objective, right?
Exactly.
But we're going to make it objective. So let's reveal the results of the Frosted Four.
All right, here we go.
One seed chocolate. Seemingly unbeatable. They have dominated every opponent they have faced so far in this tournament. Facing off against four seed Carrot, one that was pushed heavily by one Chris Cato, trying to get it across the finish line. The nuts, the spices, the cream cheese frosting. Did it finish above chocolate? Negatory. They
but
are.
It gave
they are going down.
Gave chocolate its closest game yet, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
No, yeah. It was very close. So it was 54% to 46%. Now, if we could reseed things, does Carrot maybe they were a higher seed?
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Maybe they're a two seed.
I'll give you that. Maybe yeah. they shouldn't have faced them in the Frosted Four. Maybe this was a better championship game. I mean, it was quite the fight.
I want to say too, for I know yeah. that I've been pushing carrot cake. I did not vote this past time, so none of that 46% is mine. I should have gotten in there and stuffed the ballots.
Wait. So we are asking people to vote, and you did.
I know. I totally forgot.
You did.
I got busy.
Okay. All right. Well, we thank you all of you that care more about the show than Chris does. All right. On the other side. This was the one I actually called for an upset, and, mm-hmm. and I hope I didn't kind of sway the jury pool at all. But we had Red Velvet. They were a two seed going in, and I tell you, every week it was like they just got by. And if I could go back through and remember the cakes they went up against, I would recount all
yeah.
of it. But we'll have to wait for the
Hummingbird,
we'll
I believe,
have to
was
wait
one.
For the end of the year's Luther Vandross
yes,
recap.
Yes, one shining moment.
The one shining yeah. moment mm-hmm. of cakes. But yeah. So they were kind of getting knocked around all tournament, but still coming out on
top. They had showed some flaws.
Mm-hmm. But going against 3-seed Cheesecake, and I'll tell you what, Cheesecake, a heck of a competitor. Ooh. Handing it to Red Velvet, 62% to Red Velvet's 38%.
Wow.
So there you have it. There is your championship matchup. This is the final week of voting. It's Chocolate Cake against Cheesecake. These are renowned favorites each and every year, and there's people that are diehard. They are committed to the cause for either one of these, but only one can win. There can be only one Highlander.
I guess. I'm kind of stunned. I thought Red Velvet would make it a closer game than that. I mean, Red Velvet, if you ask a lot of people, is basically chocolate in disguise. Chocolate with some cream cheese frosting.
Do you think that maybe what people were thinking was, look, we already got one chocolate in.
Maybe, like, so.
We can't have a chocolate versus some other
versus
type
versus a chocolate with a cream cheese on it.
Right. Yeah. Maybe that was it. Maybe the voters wanted to see a little diversity in the championship game. So.
Okay. I can get behind that.
Hang on. Let me bring something to bear here. Hold on. We got to bring out a little special treat.
Oh, I hope it's edible. Oh, look at this. Oh, yes, sir. You did well. Did you bake all of this yourself? Mm-hmm. It is hard to make a cheesecake, isn't it? It's not easy, right? Yeah. Look at that. Beautiful display. You know, this
right,
is how it should always be. All right, this is our championship matchup here.
You have a fork that I've already licked.
I always have a fork.
Very good. And then, so what we have here is our championship matchup here. We have a cheesecake with cherries on top. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if we're supposed to go with plain. Does it matter?
I don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters. So we're just going to kind of give it a we're going to preview it as we eat it. And we also have a chocolate on chocolate.
A very small slice that you cut for us.
Yes.
Right, look at that.
All right.
Okay. So, you know, as you dig in there, I'll kind of say that I do like the topping on mine. I like goop. I like plain cheesecake.
Well, we're both goop fans.
I also like goop. Yeah.
Yeah. That's solid.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, it's a New York cheesecake, so I think that there are different kinds, but this was on the label, at least, it said it was New York.
I wonder what makes it New York.
Maybe I think the maybe the it's a little harder. You think a little bit more aged?
I don't know,
but I don't think this doesn't look aged to me.
No, mine
it's
seems
good.
That's good.
I like it.
Mine's a little soft. Did you refrigerate this?
No, I'm sorry. I apologize. All right.
We're going to be very...
Cheesecake is decent. It's good.
It's refreshing. Right. I will say it's refreshing. It's cold.
Just not a big cheesecake guy. I got to get to this chocolate on chocolate, though. All right. Now, this thing, I mean, this is a behemoth slice. Can I tell people where I got it from?
No, please. This is a Smith family recipe, right?
Yeah,
no?
Absolutely.
Right. You get it?
This is Wright's Gourmet House here in Tampa.
Okay, yeah.
They do a mean cake, and they're all pretty good.
Yeah.
But for my money, chocolate on chocolate.
Hmm.
Holy moly. Yeah, man.
You know, this is the...
I mean...
This is the UConn
sure
of the tournament
where my blood sugar is right now, but that is outstanding.
You know what I'm going to do? I normally wouldn't advise this.
You're going to smash it.
I'm going to smash it in your face. I'm just going to eat some of the actual cake without getting any of the
you
frosting.
You don't want any of the frosting.
I do want the frosting, but I want to judge for myself the moistness
of the... So our audio audience, he's going in for the bite. Again, this is just the cake. There's no frosting. There's and this cake has substantial frosting, and it has a lot of chocolate chips on top as well. But this is just cake, and
you could eat that by yourself,
by itself.
Now you would be slightly disappointed in the frosting, but it still has a strong chocolate flavor, and is delicious. You could get by just eating the cake part, but now let's get the frosting.
I mean, you had said that before when it came to pound cake that you don't need the frosting.
Right.
So would that be? It's similar to a pound cake.
Kind of stands on its own. Yeah, stands on its own.
All right. So now he's got a big old hunk. He's shoving it in that big pie hole of his.
It's a cake hole. Don't make cake come out my nose.
All
oh
right.
Man, that
he's
icing.
Already, he's browned out one of his teeth with chocolate frosting.
No, this icing is legit.
Yeah,
no, that's
is,
good.
I'm telling you. They can do a mean cake over there, and
yeah, I'm happy though with a chocolate cake that's the like the chocolate on the yellow cake. I'm fine with that too. Chocolate on white cake, I'll do that. You can call that chocolate cake.
Here's the thing with that though,
it doesn't have to.
That
be.
Tends to be a more like milk chocolatey flavor, where I don't know. This is more like fudge, that the flavor of like a chocolate cake is more fudge, and I think the frosting is the same. I think it's like a milk chocolate frosting.
Yeah,
but I don't know anything about the cake other than. It tastes real good, man.
Look, I didn't. This one part of it has chocolate chips on it.
Yeah.
No, didn't even notice that.
You gotta get some of that.
That's too much. Too much chocolate.
No, it's wonderful.
It's over chocolate.
All right, so here's the deal. You have seen it. You have watched us eat, much to your pain and agony. You've watched us eat this. Now, go out and get you some this week. I mean, go out and get like a slice. Taste it. Renew the flavors in your mind. Refresh yourself on what these cakes taste like. And then come to the ballot box.
Yeah.
And cast your ballot for the one that you believe is the greatest cake in the world. And that's kind of what we're doing here on this podcast. It's a mighty task.
This could be a mismatch, though. I mean, I just want to say, I know the cheesecake fans are strong, but I'm curious to see.
I don't know if I picked out the world's greatest cheesecake, but this chocolate cake, it may be up there. So
I'm just saying in general, we could have, like, I don't know.
This, you think, it's going to be a blowout?
It could be a blowout.
Which direction?
Chocolate. Like, yeah. Who's going to – you heard Ice Cube. Who's going to vote again?
Well, and again, he's kind of – he's a great marketer himself.
Yes.
I think he's just – he might have pushed it over the limit. So, but you have something to say about it. So go to fox13news.com. Go to the contest tab on the top of the page. Or you can hit the QR code on the screen right there, and that will take you to voting as well. Again, super simple to vote. And this week, it's just one. You just got to pick
one.
One time. Again, rifle through all of your fake email accounts and vote multiple times if you'd like. But there you have it. Fantastic. The championship is set, and we are ready to crown a champ.
We have got to get past this cake thing. It's almost swimsuit season here, and I'm struggling.
That's
like
true.
This whole cake thing's taking its toll on me. I look like a lava lamp under here. There's stuff moving around. I mean, we've got to stop all this cakey.
That's a good image. All right. We have a whole week to focus on that. Big thanks to our guest, Ice Cube. Much thanks to our production crew. We got Sean in here helping out. We got Chris on the ones and twos. We got BK back there in the control room. Chris, all I have to say is today was a good day.
You got
today
that right.
Today was a good day. Until the next time we are on, there are no off days.
Cheesecake's pretty good.
Ha ha ha.